The word today is curse. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Doug Schrader. No one wants to be under a curse. To be cursed means you are doomed and can't do anything about it. We are condemned as sinners by God's holy and just law, but we are not hopeless. Jesus came as our Redeemer to save us from the punishment we deserve for our sins. Here to share now about our escape from certain destruction is Bible scholar Doug Schrader on The Word Today, Curse.
Every culture around the world has its own stories for children, stories that teach us principles about good behavior, and sometimes these stories involve curses. There is an evil source or an evil person who puts a curse on another individual, and it will only take the power of good to overcome and to break that curse, to do away with the evil that was perpetrated by this sinister person. In the Bible, we have an interesting discussion about God's law being like a curse to people. It's very different. It's found in Galatians chapter 4, starting at about verse 5. I'll go back to verse 4 and start there. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Back in chapter 3 of Galatians, it says in verse 13 quite specifically that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. First, I'd like to define for you the difference between a curse and swearing. A lot of people mix these up, but actually there is a technical difference between them. If a person were to wish evil on another and to ask God, either directly or indirectly, to visit that person with judgment and damnation, that would be a curse. For instance, if someone were to, in anger, say to another individual, go to hell, that would be a curse. Obviously, it would not be within the power of this human to send this person to hell. They would be implying that they wanted God to do this to them. One thing I should say and hasten to make clear is that a Christian should never wish these things. A Christian should never have these thoughts or speak such things against another person. A Christian is to be in favor of the salvation of people, is to be looking for their enemies and God's enemies to be won to Christ and to be saved, not to be sent to hell. The other distinction I'd like to make is with swearing. When a person swears, it's taking an oath, similar to being in a courtroom, where they are calling on God to be their witness. A classic example of it, which would be, I swear to God it's true. Neither one of those is acceptable for the believer. Jesus said quite clearly that we are to let our yes be yes and our no be no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. That's because of the inherent sin in us that causes us to either wish evil upon people or else try to manipulate God into doing what we want. Now back to this idea of the law of God as a curse. We normally think of God's law as being very good. After all, it opposes evil and it states punishments for wrongdoing. It also guides us to walk in God's ways. So how could God's law be a curse? Well, let me explain how it works. because we are sinful, God's law condemns us. It points out it's not just the person that we think is bad. We ourselves are bad, and we come under God's judgment. It turns us into outlaws or individuals who are on the run from God, people who are opposing Him, and therefore it calls down God's judgment upon us, and punishment for our sin should be exacted. That's why it's kind of like a curse to us. It brings nothing good in the end because of our sin. It only brings God's judgment and condemnation. And it's not good enough for us just to simply cease doing the wrongs that we are now, because we already have sins and guilt that has to be paid for. We already have piled up errors and wrongdoing before God, and that must be atoned for. It must be paid for. And that's why in Galatians chapter 3, it says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. God's law, which demands perfection, a holy, righteous judge, God the Father, demands sinlessness. Well, we've blown it, and therefore we are condemned by God's law. Yet, God is also forgiving and gracious, and He is kind. So He was willing to send Jesus in order to redeem us. Now, to redeem means to buy back or purchase back. It means you will give something in exchange for that which you truly want. And sometimes that price is very high. As we saw in the case of Jesus, God gave His own Son, His only Son, His precious Son, in order to die for us. And so we were bought back for God. The beautiful thing is that the gospel is God's last word. He not only told us how we are to live and what we must do in order to please Him, but when we failed, His last word is not condemnation and judgment. His last word is forgiveness. And that's what Jesus' name even stands for. God saves. He is willing to forgive sinners. And so that's why Christ, in Galatians 3, verse 13, became a curse for us. He accepted the consequences, the results of our sin, which was God's wrath being visited upon Him, which was being condemned, which was being killed because of our sin. Jesus took that upon Himself when He hung upon the cross. He endured God's punishment for sin so that we could be forgiven. There is an amazing result then. Consequently, we go, this is the most, one of the most incredible things in the New Testament. We go from being a condemned sinner to being a beloved child of God. If you can imagine this, that's why I read in Galatians 4 earlier, verses 4 through 7, it says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Now, I just want you to think for a moment of the incredible transformation that Jesus brings about for us. The awesome opportunity that we have, that if we are willing to put our hope and our trust in Christ, if we're willing to say, I want to be a child of God, I want to be a Christian, we actually are reconsidered by God. We're considered no longer to be criminals, no longer to be punished and damned, but we are now considered beloved children. This is phenomenal. I don't know of any other transformation in the universe quite like this, that you can go from having your whole life being wasted, being spent in activities that will lead you to hell, now receiving just the opposite consequence, that now you can be with God and at peace with God. It's an amazing concept. And to show you how intimate, how close that oneness with God can be, in the scriptures, when it discusses us being in sin in Romans chapter 5, it says, while we were still sinners. And elsewhere it says, while we were enemies. So while we are enemies and sinners, opposed, antagonistic, God gives His Son to redeem us. Jesus takes our guilt, the punishment for our sins, even before we wanted forgiveness. That's how wise God is. That's how prepared and how ahead of us God is, because He had His Son do this before we even had a realization how badly we needed it. And yet, when we finally come to our senses, when we finally understand and want God's forgiveness in our life, it's there. It's already been done. It's already prepared for us. And then on top of that, once we've decided, I'm going to stop fighting God, I'm going to stop rebelling, I'm going to stop being against Him, I feel the weight of my sin, I feel the condemnation of the law, and I need God's forgiveness. Once you come to that realization, immediately then, upon becoming a child of God, being baptized into Christ, confessing your sins, praising and confessing the name of Jesus as your Savior, immediately you are considered a child, a beloved child of God, not an enemy, not an opponent, but the son or daughter of the Lord Himself. And the word of closeness, of intimacy between yourself and God is in verse 6 of Galatians 4, Abba. Now the word Abba is Aramaic, and it means dada, daddy. It's like the little child who's so trusting and loving and understands, and the Father holds them close and dearly. That's the relationship you can have with God. But it will only come if you understand the curse of the law that was visited upon Jesus that should have been yours. You should have taken that. And yet Christ has done it for you. What an incredible thing to now be considered, because of God's mercy and love, a dearly loved child of God, so that you can come to Him and pray to Him and call Him your dad. So kind and loving, the one who has saved you from your sins, the one who has saved you from the curse of the law.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Joy. Joy is a short word study in the fourth chapter of Philippians. If you enjoyed Pastor Schrader's message today, you'll appreciate having this booklet on this important topic. So write today for your free copy of Joy. Our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.